The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Luke 10 comes at the beginning of the narrative about Jesus' last journey to Jerusalem. Jesus is teaching the crowd about what it means to be a neighbor. The lawyer's answer is the key to the parable. Being a neighbor is about what you actually do for a person in need. The Gospel text. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. All right, boys and girls, it's very nice to see you this morning. Thank you for being here, and hello to all of you boys and girls out there on internet land. I'm glad that you joined us this morning. I want to begin this children's message with a verse from Psalm 24. "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." I'm going to come back to that in a moment, but first I want to tell you about 2 little children who were eating breakfast. One of them suddenly grabbed her glass of milk and shouted, "My juice," or glass of juice, sorry. The other child did the same thing. He grabbed his glass and shouted even louder, "My juice." The first child noticed her bowl of cereal and called out, "My cereal." "My cereal," yelled the little boy, grabbing his bowl. The 2 created such a stir that they had to be excused from the breakfast table. And it didn't end there. Sad to say, throughout the day, they could be heard shouting, "My doll, my truck, my Legos." Have you ever acted that way? Have you ever seen someone else act that way? Well, sometimes a young person will take something that belongs to another person and say, "Mine," even though he or she knows that it isn't theirs. Sometimes even older children, when they go to school, take things that aren't their own. You know what that's called? It's called stealing, isn't it? Well, I don't really know anyone who does that, but did you know that God warns us not to steal from him? Did you know that you could steal from God? Maybe you didn't even realize that. But remember what our Bible verse said when we started today. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. You see, boys and girls, everything belongs to God, but He lets us use it for ourselves. He's so good to us and loves us so much that He even gave His Son to take away our sins. And God wants us to share what He's given us with others. God wants us to give away some of our money for the work of the church and to help others. And He also wants us to use our time and talents to help other people as well. Since God has given us so much, wouldn't it be terrible to hold on to it and say, "Mine"? Let's pray. Dear Lord, help us to say, "It's yours, God." Thank you for letting us use what you have given us, and help us to be glad to share with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you, boys and girls, for being here this morning. And I'm going to spend a few minutes now talking to all of us about the same thing, how we use God's gifts to help other people. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The word for today comes from the 10th chapter of Luke, the parable of the Good Samaritan. The parable is encased within the story of a lawyer who wants to know what he can do to inherit eternal life. And the takeaway are the words that Jesus speaks at the very end of the story when He says to the lawyer and to us, "You go and do likewise." Imagine you're heading off to work or school or to the store, and you see a man who clearly needs help. Everyone else is passing him by, and you notice, in addition to his needing help, that he's part of a group of people who have been openly hostile to you and your family. Nevertheless, you stop, patch the guy up by using your own very expensive supplies. In the story, it's oil and wine. You take him to a hotel where you give him more care and attention for the rest of the day and overnight, and then the next day, you give the hotel manager 2 days' wages to keep on caring for the man with the promise that you'll pay more if it's needed. And then Jesus wraps up the story with these words, "Go and do likewise." Could you? Would you? I don't know about you, but this seems like a pretty advanced Christianity to me. This is world-class kindness. How can we hope to be like the Good Samaritan? Well, remember, Jesus is talking to a lawyer who wants to know how to earn his way into heaven. And Jesus tells this story in response to make it clear that he can't. That's really the point that Jesus is making. The lawyer can't earn his way into heaven, and neither can we. There's only one true Good Samaritan. Guess who? Yeah, you're right. Jesus Christ. In challenging the lawyer, Jesus was pointing out the truth that he is the one who meets each one of us on the road. We aren't beaten down by robbers, perhaps. Instead, we're dead in our own sin. And by that sin, we are hostile to God's ways. And yet, Jesus stops and brings us to his Father for care. The innkeeper needed money to care for the man, but our Heavenly Father demands something much more. He tells Jesus the price that he must pay to give us life. And so Jesus willingly suffers and dies on the cross of Calvary to restore us. That's the real story here of the Good Samaritan. But how does that tie into the joy of generosity? This week, we're talking about the joy of sharing God's blessings. Where does the Good Samaritan fit in? Well, this story is also a picture of the perfect steward, if you will. The Good Samaritan is blessed with many things, and he uses them to help his neighbor. He takes the time needed to make sure the man is on the road to recovery. He uses his abilities and skills to provide care for him. And God has given him material goods, wine, oil, a donkey, and money, which he uses to help the man too. Time, ability, money. It's the complete picture of a good steward. What we might call a fully developed steward. Like I said before, world class. We'll talk about how God moves us toward that goal in a few moments. But first, I want to talk very honestly about stewardship. You know, stewardship is not a once a year conversation. It is rather a vital part of the Christian walk. It is our way of life. Our daily rallying cry should be, go and do likewise. A visual way to depict go and do likewise is this image. And I like it because it shows very clearly that our giving is also part of our worship to God. And in worship, God gives us his gifts, so too, in our faithful giving, God outgives us. He does amazing things with our offerings of time, abilities, and talents. And through our giving, he works within us as well, bringing us joy as he moves our hearts away from ourselves and more towards others. Movement that allows compassion and helps us here at First Lutheran Church to see the importance of partnering with the table or launch pad or Room in the Inn or Jones Buena Vista School or Habitat for Humanity or Project Thrive or Lutheran Disaster Relief or the Southeastern Synod, to name just a few. At next week's Oktoberfest, you'll have the opportunity to see all the outreach ministries that we team up with and discover how you can get involved. You see, growth is really what it's all about, because stewardship, as I said, isn't a once-a-year reminder that our church requires money or time or abilities in order to share the gospel and care for others. Stewardship at its heart is a way God helps us to grow spiritually. And at the same time, it's a measure of our spiritual growth that we can understand about ourselves, because simply put, giving requires that we trust God. So growth is what it's all about. And when I think of growth, I think of personal training. I think of weightlifting. You know, you don't go from weakling to massive muscles in 30 seconds. You begin by lifting lighter weights, then go to a slightly heavier weight, and on and on. You can't have enormous muscles right away by going straight to the largest weights. Likewise, you can't spend your life on a couch, then get up one day and run a marathon. First, you walk, then you jog, and on and on. The longer and longer distances until eventually your body is ready to handle the world-class stuff. It reminds me about the time, 16, 18 years ago when I was getting ready to referee ice hockey. And I needed to get in a little better shape. And so I talked to a trainer about getting in shape. What did I need to do to get started? I expected him to give me a daily training regimen, switching between weightlifting and aerobic activity, different machines, different types of weights, perhaps a diet as well. You know what he said to me? Why don't you just start walking around the neighborhood at lunchtime? I thought it would be hard to get started. And that was because I had the goal in mind, a perfectly fit body that could skate for hours with limitless energy, strength, and flexibility. World class. And that's a great goal. But it's better for me to focus on the next step rather than the finish line. Start walking. And when I see improvement, it will encourage me to go to the next level, and so on, step by step. It's great to have a personal trainer, someone who knows what it takes, someone who'll yell instructions at you until you succeed, right? Nah, that really doesn't work so well. But how about someone who's been there and done that? Someone who knows what it takes, someone who will always be there to encourage you and model the right path to follow. That's the kind of personal trainer we want and need. And that's true for our stewardship training as well. My friends, Jesus has been there, done that. He promises to be with us, to encourage us and strengthen us, and to equip us for work in His kingdom. He's moving us toward the goal in the story of the Good Samaritan. It's a goal toward which we all strive as His redeemed children. But if you see your life as God's stewards to be very far away from the Good Samaritan, don't let that cause you to lose heart and give up. Focus on the next step. Some of us here are just getting off the couch, and others are running marathons in terms of their stewardship. Look at where you are now and go a little further. Lift a little heavier weight. Pick up your pace from a walk to a slow jog. And watch how God works through your increased generosity to bless you and bless others. He will bring you the joy and the motivation to go the next step. In this way, our rallying cry becomes something like this. Grow and do likewise. Grow in the grace of giving. Grow in generosity. Grow in your spiritual life. Become more and more like Jesus. In your bulletin this morning, you found a stewardship commitment form. It looks like this. The top you are invited to turn in today. The bottom is for you to keep as a reminder of your commitment for 2022. During the offering and communion time, you are invited to fill out your forms and place them here in this basket as an act of worship when you come up for communion. On the reverse side is a giving chart, which is like your personal training. It helps to illustrate the next step in your giving. If you're visiting with us today, please don't be uncomfortable. This commitment service is something our congregation does once a year. If you are a member and don't wish to complete a commitment form, we don't want you to feel pressured to do so. We do hope you will consider this, but it's a totally volunteer process. No matter where we are in our stewardship walk with Jesus, each of us can take a step closer to the ultimate goal which God has shown to us through his Son, Jesus Christ, the true Good Samaritan. God wants us to be like Jesus, and he uses our baptism, his word, the Lord's Supper, prayer, fellowship with one another, and our stewardship. All these things he uses to make us more like him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we want to be more like you. We want to be truly selfless with all the gifts you've given us, our time, our abilities, and our money. Lord, work through us by your Holy Spirit to take the next step as we seek to grow and do likewise. Work in us so we are blessings to each other and the world around us. By your grace alone, so too, we know we will be blessed beyond measure. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. I'll invite you to stand as you are able, and we'll sing our hymn of the day.